we ask God for your continue, Holy Spirit, to pour out your heart, Lord Jesus, and to instruct us in a way. And we look to you to answer all the prayers we've been praying for each time that we meet, but especially again tonight. I ask for your anointing, Father, to speak your heart and continue with what your Spirit is saying to us. In Jesus' precious name, give us ears to hear, minds to perceive. Help us in opening our hearts, God, to you, so that you can put within us your desires. And then let those desires just come forth as we commit ourselves to you and delight ourselves in you, that you can give us the desires of our heart, because they're your desires in us through you, from you. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. If you want to turn, and I'm not so sure just how I'm going to focus on this in terms of focus in the Word, but because I don't want you to get led astray and down a rabbit hole on your own. But I'm prompted by the Spirit to look at Psalm 107. And so if you'll turn there, and there's going to kind of look at the whole book or the whole psalm for consideration. And first thing I want to say, if you were to read Psalm 107, you'll find in the first three verses that there is an exhortation for us to remember what God has done. And then it bids the exhortation that, oh, that the people of God would give God, I'm going to paraphrase this, give God praise, give God thanks. And there's a key expression found there. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I often take this and appropriate it for instruction and encouragement to share what God has done in your lives and to give testimony to the same. I want to give a word of encouragement along that line with what's been recently taking place. Now, 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago tonight, I was in the pulpit and the Holy Spirit moved in a very special way with a visitation and began to move to give us expectation that led to the Sunday morning service where we had an opportunity where we had the elders avail themselves for the body to come forth and to ask for prayer for the needs of the body. And the Holy Spirit started to manifest what God was doing in that evening. Christina Cummins, we prayed for her on Wednesday night, and God touched her Achilles heel and healed her. And as we were praying for her, her testimony was that while we were praying for her, she was at the point where she was going to enter into therapy the next day because of it was that problematic and painful. And while we were praying for her, she felt what felt like, and according to her words, warm waters being poured down her knee and down her leg. And as she felt that sensation, the pain left her, and she was healed. We had, again, then later that week on that Sunday morning, we had people coming forth, and in that time in service, we had a visitor, a friend, a relation of Teresa's, Mike Earle, who has been dealing with prostate cancer. And on the Monday after that, following that, he went in for testing and waited for the results of those testings. And his wife wrote and just was elated with the report that there's no evidence of cancer in that blood test. Last Sunday, Heather Eggery was in pain. Her testimony was that she had gotten an operation around the first part of the month, and as a result of that operation on her shoulder, she was in intense bend-over pain, gut-wrenching pain. It wouldn't release her, and she couldn't sleep, hadn't slept for over a week, and was trying to sleep in a recliner. And I was in the back, service was over, and she come to up for prayer, and Paul was there and saw what took place. I started to pray for her, and she began to weep. And as I was praying for her, the pain left her. And she turned around, and she went back to her husband, and Paul's in the back, and says, "Pastor Larry prayed for me, and the pain is gone." And she went home that evening, and the pain is gone. The pain is gone. And that evening, she went to go to sleep, and she had been 7 days or better sleeping in the recliner and fidgeting and couldn't sleep. And the next day, she called me and put it on the prayer chain. And her husband told her, "Well, you're fidgeting and can't sleep in a recliner. Go on up the bed." So she went up the bed and lay down on the side that she was operating on, which she wasn't supposed to do. Slept like a baby. No pain. And we need to lift her up in prayer, because I know it's over a week now and she hasn't had any more pain until just the last few days. It's like it's been trying to come back on her. And so we're going to pray and ask. In fact, right now, Father, we just ask that if there's a spirit behind that trying to challenge the healing, that you would rebuke it, God, and just bring relief again. And just strengthen her and hedge her in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the work that you're doing. So why am I sharing these things? Because the word says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And oh, that we give thanks to God for what he has done and is doing and is going to do. And one of the things that the Spirit has impressed upon me to just put out before the body is to give this soft warning, if you will. Don't allow for familiarity with these things that we're speaking of. Because God is here, God is alive, and God is moving. And we're going to see, I believe, I have the expectation and in prayer before God, we're going to see a continuation of the frequency and the increase of God revealing himself in these ways. And there's many, many, I was overwhelmed by the many, many serious needs that were brought before the elders that Sunday morning. Many of you were here that stood in those lines and asked for prayer. I'm familiar with many of them. But as I just want to encourage you to keep going to God with whatever it is that you're dealing with. This morning, as I got up and I was praying and considering this evening, and I was on the phone sitting at my breakfast table, I have this dog, and her name is Freedom. And she has, some people say she has too much freedom. But I was amazed at how well trained I am. And I'm sitting at the table, and she wanted to go outside. She was upstairs, and I could hear her come trotting down and running. And she has this thing where she goes to the door, and she'll stare at the door, and you'll hear a woof, 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 woof. And she'll just keep it up. And she will keep it up at the same pace without relentlessly. I can yell at her, scream at her, give her commands, offer her something to pull her away. And it's until I get up from that table and go let her out. And then anybody can relate to that? Okay. Well, it made me think of, I was thinking, boy, you've got me trained well. So. And she won't let up until she gets what she's after. And it made me think of Luke 18, chapter 1, or Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 18, I think it is. And I'm not going to read it, just refresh us with it. It's the parable of the widow going to the unjust judge. And in Luke 18, 1, it says, man ought always to pray and not faint. And if you read that parable about the widow that goes to the unjust judge, she simply acted in tenacity and in perseverance. She kept going back. And the unjust judge, now as we look at that and think about it, it's a parable that Jesus made it clear that he used to bring across this principle that God has the power, the authority, and the ability to meet our needs, whatever it is we're going to him for. Don't look at the unjust judge and think that he represents the character and the nature of God, because he was an unjust judge. But in our case, we serve a just God. And a God that loves us, a God that cares for us, the God that, who is God that cares for us, as we've heard already, Almighty God. And whatever it is that we're praying and believing God for, once we get a hold of the idea and the witness through the confirmation in the Spirit that we know what the God, or thinking or believing that we know what the God, will of God is, we need to just continue to go and seek and to ask and to pursue him. Whatever the need, whatever gets before us in terms of the plan that he has for our lives and whatever he allows. And to keep going back and to raise a voice in his presence. Now back to Psalm 107. If you take into context the past, the psalm, the psalm, if you study the entire psalm and read it, is broken up into seven different classifications of experiential need that brings each class with their problems or even in business to God. And different situations, different experiences, different needs, seven different categories and classifications. And the predominant presentation is that of distress, disease, calamity, just the attacks that the enemy brings in, that life brings against us in general. And the exhortation that I've been thrilled with that just stuck with me years ago in a message that was brought out that I heard years ago was that in every situation, it essentially says and brings out that they look to the Lord, and God brought the provision and the answer for what their need was. And in Psalm 107, here's a key verse. I want to go to the end and come back, but I'm going to put this verse out there up front. Psalm 107, verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20, depending on the translation, says that they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard them, and he sent his word to heal them. He sent his word to heal them. Now, in just before the end of the chapter, in one of the last classifications, it talks about men that go to the sea for their business, and I think it's referring to fishermen, essentially. And it talks about how they get out to sea, and you'll extrapolate this as you read that portion, and they get out to sea, and the waves and the storm, winds blow, and the waves come up, and the storm rages, and that God is behind the storm, allowing it. And the storm and its intensity gets to the point where they fear for their lives and cry out to the Lord. And they cried out to the Lord, and he sent his word to heal them. Now, as I was thinking about this tonight, And that illustration, using my imagination, it made me think of two testimonies. Not my testimonies, but testimonies that you may or may not be familiar with. The first one has to deal with one of the most popular lead worship songs of praise and gratification to the Lord that we all well know, and even the secular world uses it predominantly. And it's the song Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You know the words. Think about it with me. And then think about this if you're not familiar with it, or if you are, just rethink it again. This song was written by a man who was a slave trader. And he was in the process of, and it was at sea with a load of slaves coming, I believe, to the Americas. And the Holy Spirit was convicting him, trying to get him to turn from what he was doing. And I don't recall his name, but anyways, they're coming across the seas to America, load of slaves. He's under conviction. He had been wrestling and fighting with the Holy Spirit. And a storm rose. And it was a severe storm, and the waves were sweeping over the deck. And in the midst of the storm, he got swept overboard. And he swept over. He was arguing with God in the process. And he got swept overboard. And now he's in the sea, can't see the boat, and he cries out to God. This is his testimony. He cries out to God and essentially repents and cries out to God for God to save him. And another wave comes up, picks him up, and puts him back on deck. And he got right with God. He made a deal with God, and he wrote the song. The words, he wrote the lyrics for Amazing Grace. And Amazing Grace was written from that experience. Our God is a God of miracles. It made me think of another similar miracle experience that we've told from the pulpit at different times with when we were formerly the Bible Speaks and located in Lenox as a Bible college and a young missionary or missions-minded ministry, and that had teams all around the world. And the vision came forth for them to get a boat to do humanitarian and medical aid and to preach the gospel from that foundation in the Caribbean basin. And so they found a boat in Finland through the Finnish ministry, and they hired a captain to sail that boat to bring it to the Americas and here to Albany. And they eventually named the boat the mission ship La Gracia, which stands for grace, I believe. La Gracia, grace, Spanish. And they had the captain and one seasoned shipmate, an assistant, and the rest of the crew was staffed by volunteer Bible college students. Okay, they all got on board and over on the other side, and they started sailing for America. They got about halfway across. I might not have the details specific, but they got about halfway across, and a storm rose just south of Greenland. And it was one of those fierce storms that makes men fear in their hearts and shake and quiver and cry out to God. And while the storm was raging, something got loose on the secure cover, on the cargo cover. And one of the students went out to secure it, and he got swept overboard. The testimony of the captain, if I remember it correctly, was there was a bunch of Bible college students in where the steering wheel is, and they're looking out over the front of the ship. They saw it take place, and immediately all the students got on their knees and started to pray. And as they prayed, the storm and the seas were absolutely calm. And the captain ordered direction, and they turned a little bit, and they saw the male student in the waters, and they retrieved them, brought him back on board. And when he got on board, the storm returned to full intensity. Okay. God is able to do that. And because God is in control. And our God is God. He is Almighty God. And it makes me think of the passage in the New Testament where Jesus is with his disciples and they're on the sea and the storm raises and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And his disciples get to the point where they're in fear for their lives. And finally they go to him and say, Master, how can you sleep when the storm is raging, when we're in fear for being lost at and subject to the storm that has risen? And he basically looked at them. I think he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." And he went to the front of the boat and he said, "Peace," in English, he says, "Peace be still. Peace be still." And I believe in the Greek, it can be correctly translated as, he said to the storm, "Be muzzled. Be muzzled." And the sea went calm. Remember that story? Okay. Be muzzled. Who's in control of the storm? Ultimately, God is. And so, no matter what it is that we come up against, the disciples cried out to Jesus. The people at sea that I mentioned in testimony and the people in the story of the last chapter of Psalm 107 feared for their lives and cried out to God, and he answered. And no matter what it is that we face, if we get on our knees and cry out to God, he hears us. I am again reminded in just saying that of the definition of the nature of the name of Jesus in Exodus chapter 3. That he hears our groans, our cries, our prayers. That he knows what we're going through. And for us, as New Testament believers, because we have Christ within us, the hope of glory, who's experiencing what we're experiencing with him. He remembers the promises that he's given us in the Word. Learn the Word of God. Learn the precious promises. Because all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And he comes down as he's thinking about the promises that he's given us in his Word, through his Word. He comes down in response to the knowledge of what we're going through in our cries with a plan and a provision of deliverance that delivers us, answers our needs, meets us where we're at, and saves us, and in the process gives glory to him and reaches out through the testimony of the same to reach others as he receives honor and glory through us and what he's doing. The nature of the name of Jesus, who is the Word of God. John 1:1. If you're a young student of the Word, look at John chapter 1, verse 1. Jesus is the Word of God. In the Revelation several times, his name is the Word of God. And they cried out in Psalm 107, verse 20, they cried out to the Lord, and he sent, and I want this to stick with you tonight, above all else, he sent his Word, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, manifest in the flesh, God incarnate, He sent his word to heal them. And he sends his word to heal us. And he sent his word and had his word crucified in our place for our benefit and to save whoever will cry out to him. We just celebrated Easter. I hope I'm not being presumptuous, but was the song able to be keyed up that Pastor Moore of Easter? What's it? Teresa, help me out. Easter, hallelujah. Can that be pulled up? Okay. I want to close with that song and just have you think about it as I pray. Remember, and again, as a fresh reminder, we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. And be fully refreshed and motivated by what Jesus did for us on the cross. And as they're pulling up the song, I just want to give an invitation. If you're here tonight or listening through the media, if this is put out on a social media broadcast, and you haven't received what has been offered to us by God out of his love, and you haven't yet received Christ by faith, if you haven't been saved, I plead with you. Don't let your heart be hardened, but respond with a prayer of faith and let Jesus in and pray, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart and save me in Jesus' name." If you pray that prayer, and as we're listening to this song, if you might help you to be motivated to act upon what we just gave as an invitation, please let one of us know, or somebody that you know that is a Christian, that they can help you in growing in relationship with him. So we're going to close with this song, and I just want you to listen to it. Think about Resurrection Sunday and what just passed and what this song is saying. And I ask you, bless these words to us. Bless the words that Mark gave. And Lord, I want to say this too. When it comes to the things that we face, remember Matthew 16:18. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And we are the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.